This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
in. So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful, what's your
and father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so roar. Really, I'd better
beautiful,
hurry.
Please don't.
Well, maybe just a half a drink.
Put
more.
Some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
Wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break this
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
swell. I ought to say no, no.
Mind
no,
if I move in.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Well, baby, don't hold out. Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah, it's pretty cold out most places. It's a little bit cold here in Tampa Bay, but not that bad. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. What is it? Four more days? Yes, indeed. Till the big one. We thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, December the 21st. By the way, this is the first day of winter, technically. Shortest day of the year. First full day is tomorrow, but it starts at some point this afternoon today. In a few minutes, we will be talking with an old friend, Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant. He's worked in the Immigration and Naturalization Service. He knows a lot about our southern border. And we are going to talk about the Supreme Court's decision to put a temporary hold on the ending of Title 42, which to some extent was blocking some of the illegal immigrants from coming across. Not all of them, needless to say. So stay tuned for that. And as Ukraine's President Zelensky prepares to address our Congress, he's going to be here to talk today, President Biden prepares to give him access to apparently our most advanced missile system. Did you know that? We're going to talk about that as well. And get a load of this. This one's hard to believe. A pro-life activist in England, a woman, is jailed for standing silently near an abortion clinic and internalizing a prayer. She didn't say it out loud. She internalized it. We're going to take a look at that story. Hard to believe. And in our ultimate top 10, this would be of particular interest to people around our listening area in the Tampa Bay area. The top 10 highest paid CEOs in Tampa Bay. I want to find out if Ed's one of them. So stay tuned for that. We got a lot to talk about today. By the way, Ed, speaking of you, Franco Harris died. You know of Franco
I
Harris.
I just saw that. Not amazing, but on the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate...
The Immaculate Reception. I knew I would say it wrong.
I've used that on somebody else.
I remember the catch. Yeah. I've seen it so many times.
Was it a
he
catch?
He literally plucked it out of the blades of the grass.
Was it a catch?
Yeah, it was. I mean,
John Madden went to his grave saying it was not a catch.
Really?
And if you,
from what I could see, it was a catch.
The brief time I spent with John Madden, if you bring that up...
Did you spend time with him?
Yes, I had to grab him for an interview when I was just getting into radio. And but I tell you, you bring that up and you could just see his eyes go to a different level.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about this. Franco Harris, a Hall of Fame Pittsburgh Steelers running back, who was known for making what is alleged to be a miraculous grab in the AFC Divisional Playoffs against the Oakland Raiders in 1972, like Ed said, 50 years ago, has died at the age of 72. In fact, his death has come days before the Steelers were going to retire his number. Number 32, you know.
Well, they should have retired that a long time ago, I would think. No?
You would have thought so. He was a Hall of Famer. And whether you agree that he caught that or not, he was a great player. Anyway, we wanted to mention that because it just crossed, as we say, crossed the wire this morning.
72 is
very,
still
very young.
Very young, but up there for football age.
Yeah.
You know. Back in the day when they didn't know what concussions really were. Well, they knew what they were, but they just handed you some smelling salt and got back out.
Do you think that the average age of people that have played professional football is shorter than the average
age? Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I recently ran in, I don't want to say his name, but a very popular player. You could see the signs already. Very popular player.
Yeah, I can think of a few. Particularly, I hate to say this, but they took a few hits to the head.
Oh, yeah.
And it has affected them emotionally, has affected them.
I worked with Scott Brantley when I first got into radio, and recently I saw him also. And he's going through a major struggle in his life right now.
Oh, God bless him. Yeah. You know, it's a tough sport. I don't know how you're going to be able to cut back on the injuries.
But it's a shame, and we could do a whole show on it, a shame that the NFL, with the billions and trillions of dollars that they make, can't do more for these guys because they're afraid that they're faking it, is the bottom line.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a lot else to talk about as well. And, in fact, we'll be talking with our buddy Neville Kramer just a few minutes about this. But the Biden administration yesterday asked the U.S. Supreme Court to let the Title 42, that's that pandemic-era policy of keeping people from crossing illegally into our country. They asked to let this policy continue, not come to an end right away, but have requested that they do want it to end, but they want a brief delay until at least after Christmas. What's the point? I don't know. You know, you're going to wait 3 or 4 days, then you're gonna fight to get it ended anyway. It makes no sense. If anybody thought that the Democrats really cared about security, this should put an end to it. To fight against Title 42, it's sort of like the last thumb on the dike of keeping the complete overflow of these people.
And Title 42 to me is nothing but a paper deterrent for migrants. You know, there's ones that looking at it and say, oh, it's still there, so we're not gone. And then the other ones are just saying, it's just paper, let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
But it was another reason to keep people from just indiscriminately coming across. But you're right. You're right. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about that when Neville comes on. In the meantime, in line with that, Ukrainian President Zelensky, did you know he's here to address Congress?
Yeah.
From Ukraine?
Yeah.
He'll pay an in-person visit to Congress as the lawmakers here are preparing to pass a multi-trillion-dollar budget that includes more than $45 billion, that's with a B, $45 billion in new military and humanitarian aid for his country. Did you know that one of the things that he's going to get, according to this new legislation, the Biden administration is going to send to Ukraine the most advanced air defense weapon in our arsenal.
Yeah, the Patriot missile,
system.
Well, here's the thing on that. I was against it at first because I thought, you know, well, we're kind of meddling a little too far. But then Iraq is supplying Russia with drones. So what's the difference?
Yeah, you know the old saying, all's fair in love and war?
Yeah.
All's fair in war. If you think that the Russians are following it,
I would rather
they'll take anything.
See us give them physical weapons than hand them a blank check. Because I always wonder who takes a piece out of that and how much actually goes to
the
cause.
That's true. That's a very good point.
Blech, I hate that.
Handing money over to countries, it's always that way.
I mean,
that the people at the top are ripping off. You know, skimming it. At least they're skimming it.
It's not like he's going to go down to Amscot and cash it and you know, stop at Big Boys and have a quick dinner and then, you know, give the rest of the...
I like the way you put that.
Whatever.
All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about keeping Title 42 on the books, at least for a few more days, with Neville Kramer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. 4 days before the big day. The big day is December 25th, in case you've forgotten. Well, the Biden administration, as we said, is asking the U.S. Supreme Court, and in fact, the U.S. Supreme Court is going ahead with it. Today was going to be the day, technically, I think, that Title 42 was to end, but it's going to be extended past Christmas now. At least that's what the Biden administration wants to do. And we've got an old friend, Neville Kramer, one of our best buddies that has gratefully said he would join us. And we're going to talk a little bit about Title 42. Neville is an author. He wrote a book called Immigration Chaos years ago. It's a great book. You can still get it on Kindle. He is a security consultant. He's got all kinds of experience with the Immigration Naturalization Service. So, Neville, let's just right to the point. Title 42, is it a good thing to end, or should we figure out a way to keep it going?
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
They're kicking the can, down the road is what they're doing. Making the Supreme Court feel as though they're going to do something, but they're not doing anything. I mean, just take a look at the numbers that have occurred while Title 42 has been in place.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's 2-4 million of them coming across. So it's really not anything that's going to make a big difference. It will make a big difference in the numbers, but the numbers right now are so out of whack with the numbers that have already come across and that will come whether Title 42 is in place or not, that I think the country is in a lot more difficult position than it's ever been in with illegal immigration.
I mean, why does the Biden administration even do this for a few days? I mean, what's the point? I mean, are we going to be any less, more impressed with them? We know that they don't want to stem the flow of illegal immigrants. Let's be honest. If Congress really wanted to stem the flow, I say Congress, of course, we've got the factions in Congress, but, you know, we would have done something. At least if I don't know how, you can hate Trump, but he seemed to want to try to do something to bring some sense to the flow of people across our southern border.
Well, that's true, Paul, but I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I have to tell you, I've got the solution.
Oh.
We take the 10 best congressmen and senators that we have. We put them in drug cartel uniforms, sneak them into Mexico, join the cartels, and within 2 weeks, I guarantee you, they will have ruined the cartel's capabilities completely, just like they did with our Border Patrol, and they will have spent three times the cartel's money that the cartels will ever make. So
okay.
I'm looking forward to trying to get down there and do that.
Okay.
That's the only way we're going to solve this problem.
You didn't hear Ed's. Big Ed had a solution as well. I don't know if I should bring it up. It involves.
I think Neville would appreciate it. It's cheap.
It involves stocking the Rio Grande with a few reptiles. Was that it, Ed?
Yeah, Neville, we have a problem with overcrowding of Florida gators down here. I mean, the gators that are in the swamps and stuff, instead of killing them, we relocate them. So, put them in the Rio Grande there. And you got to remember they're amphibious, so they can go patrol the land and the water.
I guess they would be.
What an idea, Ed. That,
I mean, who in their right mind is going to get in that water, you know?
Somehow, I just don't think we're going to do that, but you never know.
We got a problem with anacondas down here, too. We can slap those in there.
we got boas. We got anacondas.
All right. Hey, guys.
No, hey,
let's not.
Hey, listen,
we're not
I
being
do have to tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Paul.
No. You go ahead. I'm just being silly. Go ahead.
But I have to tell you, in all seriousness, what we're looking at? I mean this because we're going to have to, some drastic measures are coming down. There's no other way of stopping it right now. And I think what they're going to have to do, seriously, is they're going to have to, I don't want this, but they're going to militarize the border. And they're going to have to say that anybody coming across the border while the military is there is subject to the use of deadly force.
Really?
Well, we've already had the military down there, and they're useless.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't shoot. They're warriors. They're soldiers. Okay, they're not down there to babysit, like change the diapers, like they're doing with the Border Patrol. They're there for the military purposes, and if they are, you've got to allow them to use deadly force. Otherwise, there's no reason for them to be there, and there's no other way to secure the border right now. We don't have the manpower.
I feel so bad for the cities like El Paso, Texas, that has become totally overrun. I feel so bad for the mental stability of these border agents, and we know about it's almost like the pressure that comes, well, maybe it's just like police, and they take their own lives, you know, and we've had some of that down there. Then you got, as you had mentioned earlier, the fentanyl situation. So we got all of these things going on, and yet our country, whether it's Biden or Congress or whatever you want to talk about, because I think the Republicans in a way are in on it too, don't you? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No question. No. There's no question. People, any time that anybody says on television that the border was secure, and I heard what you said about Trump. Yeah. I'll make a comment about that in just a second. One of the things that we have to realize is that the Republicans want the people for cheap labor, and the business community wants it for cheap labor, and the Democrats wanted to upset or basically take over, create the country in a one-party system for the Democrats. With all that being said, we could secure that border 15 times over since 1986. Since the 70s, we could have done it. But the Border Patrol doesn't even want to do it. The Border Patrol, all the Border Patrol wants to do is to become a bigger agency. They don't want to secure the border, but they'll be out of a job.
Well, you're talking about the Border Patrol execs, not the Border Patrol employees that are working the border itself.
That's correct. But yeah. They're the ones that send the Border Patrol.
You don't think that the border
what to do?
You really don't think the border executives want to see some sort of semblance of order and for the sake of their employees?
No. No, I don't. I don't believe that the Border Patrol.
Why?
I was in the Border Patrol. This is a group of people that want to become a bigger federal law enforcement agency. That's their main purpose.
And their employees.
Look, you know why they supported the wall, Paul?
Why?
Paul, why did they support the wall? Because the union and the Border Patrol realized that once they build the wall, they're going to ask Congress for 50,000 to 100,000 more Border Patrol agents to patrol the wall. There's no wall out there that's going to stop illegal immigration. Okay, they're going to go dig under it. They're going to fly over it. And they're going to go around it. So the Border Patrol knows that, but they want to support the wall because it's politically beneficial to them to become a bigger agency. More guns, more bullets, more cars, more power, more money. That's what it's all about in the government. Every agency out there is like that. That's why we're $31 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
They're not interested in solving problems, and that's a big one that we've got to solve, and they're not going to do it with the Border Patrol.
We're talking with Devil Kramer, immigration expert, security consultant, been involved with border work as well, the author of a book called Immigration Chaos. Well, you wrote that book, Immigration Chaos, quite a few years ago, Neville.
Yeah, 15 years ago.
15 years ago. I kind of remember when it first came out. It shows you how long you and I have been talking. And it's still available, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go on my website, which is immigrationchaos.com, and there's directions there how to get it. It's on the Amazon Kindle version. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for the plug. And by the way, the book is about 90% relevant today, as it was the day that it came out.
Yeah, and I think you come up with some ideas. So let's talk, Neville, with some of the ideas that you think we should implement if you were the king or the president or whatever, and you could wave the magic wand. What would you put into place?
First thing I would do is I would go back and I would eliminate the situation with the Department of Homeland Security. It's been a political nightmare. It's been a programmatic nightmare. The drug situation should be handled by DEA. But as far as our immigration system is concerned, and I mean this sincerely, I'm not a big guy of the bureaucracy, but we have got to create one agency that is in control of our immigration process. Because just listen to this fact. I'll read off 5, 6, 7 different agencies in the federal government that are at the executive. At the cabinet level. Okay, Department of State. How much does illegal immigration have to immigration affect that? Plenty. Okay, Department of Agriculture. Plenty. Department of Justice. Plenty. Department right now of Homeland Security. They're the ones that overrun. And you go through every single one of the departments, and immigration impacts it. And yet immigration has been divided into three inept, crummy little agencies within Department of Homeland Security.
So does that sort of diffuse the ability to come up with a single solution? Is that what you're saying?
That's what, yeah, and there's no, and there will be no stovepiping. There will be coordination on our immigration process. Give it a cabinet level agency and give it the money that it needs to secure the border and to stop illegal immigrants from coming into the country and working and sending money back home, etc. We need to bring in legal immigrants, and we need to have a very effective method of getting rid of the aliens that we don't want to come in illegally. And that's not being done today, and that's what we need in the interior as well as on the border.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, and we talked about this on our show the other day, back like in the 50s and 60s, people would go across the southern border to work, and then they would go home, back to Mexico again. And we didn't seem to have this issue. Now, you'll hear Democrats say, well, what we really need to do is to invest more money in these countries in Central America and the like, where these people are coming from, and that will stem the flow. Do you buy into that, Neville?
No, that won't do anything. That won't stem the flow. That will increase the flow of one thing: corrupt dollars that will go down to the country. Okay, they will go to the corrupt government officials, and they will ship it back to their Swiss bank accounts or bank accounts in Chase Manhattan Bank.
Yeah,
that's what that will increase. Nothing else.
Yeah. It's kind of like when we sent, and Ed and I were talking about it before you came on, we send money, rather than sending money to Ukraine, Ed was saying better to send them, some weapons, because at least we know, if you send the money, you don't know what it's going to be used for, right? And maybe
they're selling our weapons right now to other countries.
Yeah.
That's half of the corruption over there.
Yeah, you're talking about the Ukraine? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a mess. Now, Zelensky, speaking of all of that, will be addressing our Congress this morning or this afternoon. I'm not sure which. And we're going to, I might as well ask you this, because you get into the border security. We might as well talk about the Ukraine-Russia thing. What do you think about our delivery of a Patriot missile system to the Ukraine?
You know, I love to make comments on a lot of things, but tell you the truth, I've never been in the military, and I don't know much about the systems and how they work.
Okay.
I suppose it's a good idea that we give them the arms that they need, but I don't know where the arms are going. I know one thing about the Ukrainians that I go back to many years, is that this was, after the wall came down, a country that had probably the most corrupt government almost in the face of the world.
The Ukraine, yes.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. And they are corrupt, and they're still corrupt.
Yeah. Now,
whether we help them or not against the Russians, that's a decision, but I don't understand the war, and I don't understand the military.
Well, the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Well, that's true.
That's kind of the bedfellows between the United States and Ukraine might indeed be following that particular missive. So anyway, do you see? Go ahead.
I just want to tell you that there's an interesting thing in this new $1.7 trillion bill, the omnibus bill that just came out. You know, they have money for the border, and it specifically says that the money is intended to increase the capacity of the Border Patrol to process illegal immigrants. That means that what they want to do is they want to make it so the Border Patrol is not incompetent when it comes to processing them and then allowing them into the United States. None of it can be used for border security.
Golly.
That's what's in that bill. Now, if that doesn't tell you something about what this
priorities.
And the Republicans signed off on
it. Yeah. Oh, it's first of all, we won't go down the road. Why the heck? They should have just done a CR, a continuing resolution, and let the new Congress come up with a bill. You know, they're just throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, into this thing at the end so that they can go home. This is no way, and nobody's read it. And it's about 14,000 pages or something. I mean, nobody's
7,000 pages.
7,000, whatever.
Yeah.
Nobody's read it. Nobody knows what's in it, but they're going to vote for it.
Well, that's our government.
That's our government.
What's going to happen? How about if we just keep going down this path? I mean, eventually something is going to explode.
You would think. You would think we would finally reach bottom at some point. Neville, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I want to thank you for coming on. It's always been a pleasure to have you, and we've had you on so many times over the years. I wish the best to your delightful wife, Tamia, as well, and I look forward to talking with you in 2023.
Thanks very much, Paul. Merry Christmas to you, and healthy and happy and prosperous New Year to both of you. Thanks very much, and thanks for having me.
All right, Neville. All right. Okay. Neville Kramer. All right.
I was going to say on that point there, there's one of the phrases you've never heard the Biden administration say, other than we're going to the border, is, gee, we just don't have the funds for that.
Yeah.
I just want someone like
that. We never run out of other people's money.
Just once
don't
I would
you know
like
that?
Him to have a press conference and say, you know what? I took the checkbook home with me last night. Dr. Jill and I, we went through it. And we just don't have the money for that right now.
Yes.
Sorry, Mrs. Zelensky. We don't have the money for that.
$32 trillion in debt and counting. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, a pro-life activist, listen to this, in England, she is jailed for standing silently near, not at, but near an abortion clinic and internalizing a prayer? What? We'll talk about it.
Make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hello, this is Pryor Smith speaking from Toronto. 68 years and counting. Canada Calling. The news from home for vacationing Canadians is back for its 68th winter season beginning Monday, January 2nd. Join me here on WTAN. Clearwater, Dunedin, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. On WDCF in Dade City at 1350 and 102.3. And WZHR in Zephyr Hills, 1400 and 104.3. Canada Calling here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us on this Wednesday. And we were talking a little bit about this god-awful spending bill. It's $1.7 trillion. It was released yesterday morning. It's got 4,155 pages in it. So nobody's going to read it. But some details are trickling out about what is actually in it. And a North Carolina Republican, his name is Dan Bishop, has flagged what he called some of the most egregious provisions. He says that the package expressly prohibits customs and border protection funding from being used to improve border security. That's what Neville Cramer touched on. While at the same time, it allocates $400 million towards border security for other nations, not for the southern border, not even for our northern border, $410 million towards border security for other nations. What other nations? Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Tunisia, and Oman. Oh, great. So we'll fix their borders, but we won't fix ours. Bishop called this America Last in action. He also pointed to $1.4 billion in spending for membership in global multilateral organizations, including the United Nations. $1.4 billion. He pointed out $65 million for restoring Pacific salmon populations, $3 million for what he called bee-friendly highways, BEE. Now, this is something I've been talking about losing sleep. It's these bee-friendly highways. It has really been bothering me. I toss and I turn.
What, are they putting up bee crossings or something on the roads now?
$3 million for what he called bee-friendly highways. Apparently, we've got to figure out a way that these bees can swarm around a highway without being disturbed or hurt.
And they come up with dollars. They come up with these, why? Because somebody in the organization has a nephew that needs a job and needs to be head of it.
It's called pork.
And $100,000 salary.
And when you throw it into a 4,155-page bill, you hope that nobody takes a look at it. And that's exactly right. By the way, an additional $5 million in further spending for salmon. So I hope you like salmon.
That's
because we're spending an awful
salmon.
Lot of money. Yes, it is, isn't it? Also, he says, and lest other fish feel left out, here's $65.7 million for international fisheries commissions. Great. All right. Now, do you feel a little bit better about all that money we're sending into Washington, D.C.? I don't think so. I don't think. Okay. I want to get to this story. This is in England. A charity volunteer was arrested after she told police that she, quote, might, unquote, might be praying silently when they asked why she was standing on a public street near an abortion clinic. She was on a public street near an abortion clinic. She was standing there. She was probably facing the clinic. And she was she said she might have been internalizing a prayer. They arrested her. They arrested her.
Well, now, this is in England, right?
Yeah.
Well,
in England.
They got their own beat. You know, a drum beat that they dance to over there. I you know, if it happened over here, maybe I
think this is disgraceful. This
sure
is an English-speaking country. Her name is Isabel Vaughn Spruce. She is the director of the United Kingdom March for Life. She was standing near the Robert Clinic in Birmingham in an area that the United Kingdom has called, quote, a censorship zone. Even though it's on a public sidewalk, they have a certain censorship zones, apparently. Police approached her after an onlooker complained that she might be praying.
Okay, but when you say...
She's standing there. She wasn't making anything vocal.
Was she in a restricted area?
She was on a public sidewalk.
Okay, but you said something about...
You can be on a public sidewalk.
Something about a zone.
Yes. There was a censorship zone in the public sidewalk.
Okay.
Apparently, if she walked a little bit further and internalized her prayer, that would have been okay. Now she's in the hooskow because she stopped during... She was in the red zone, or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, police approached her after an onlooker complained that she might be praying. they have established in that town in Birmingham, they have established a buffer zone around abortion clinics.
Maybe that's to be careful. I mean, the closer they get, maybe they could rush the place and do something. I don't know.
She was by herself. She was not even saying anything. She was just standing there. Anyway, it's stupid.
I know, but authorities come out and say, listen, you're in a zone that's restricted. You need to move. And if you refuse to move, then...
But that didn't occur.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, she's in the zone. It makes it illegal for an individual to... their rules there in Birmingham, in the buffer around abortion clinics, making it illegal for an individual to engage in any act or attempted act of approval or disapproval as it relates to abortion and includes, quote, verbal or written, unquote, verbal or written, like, quote, prayer or counseling, unquote. Verbal or written, like prayer. Well, she wasn't verbalizing. Mm. And she wasn't writing anything. This is stupid. She said, this is the woman, Isabel Von Spruce. It is abhorrently wrong that I was searched, arrested, interrogated, and charged simply for praying in the privacy of my own mind. Other people could stand there, apparently. And if you were a pro-choicer and you were standing there, mm-hmm. perhaps with a sign, mm-hmm. you could stand there, apparently. This woman was just standing there. So what's the difference? If you say, oh, you can't stand there at all, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no loitering or something. You know, you can't loiter. But that wasn't the
rule. So you say they didn't even give her a warning?
Apparently not. They asked her what she was doing. She said, I might have been praying or something like to that effect. But she wasn't saying it out loud. Mm. The fact that she was internalizing the prayer, she said, I was exercising my freedom of thought inside the privacy of my own mind. Uh-huh. She said, my faith is a central part of who I am. So sometimes I will stand or walk near an abortion facility and pray about this issue. She said, this is something I've done pretty much every week for around the last 20 years of my life. I pray for my friends who have experienced abortion and for the women who are thinking about it. Anyway,
Maybe she, in the future she could get the same results by standing across the street.
It sounds like you're all for the abortion clinic.
No. I'm just... I don't know, when somebody's got a zone up that you can't penetrate...
You can walk into it.
Okay, well...
It doesn't say you can't... It's not like they've yellow taped off the area and said uh-huh. you can't walk here.
Okay, well, let me give an instance. We were in a boat off of MacDill, and we were fishing. And the boat drifted. There is an area that you cannot penetrate.
Yeah. That's understandable.
There are no
you can't go in there
yellow
at all.
Lines or anything when you're in
but
the water.
But you can't go there.
But I'm just
other
saying.
Other people can go there and stand there. That's my point.
Okay.
That's my point. That's not
exactly. So a normal person can just do the same thing, but just stand, you know, just.
I think they should stop harassing people that might want to stand there and stare at the abortion clinic, thinking, well, I wonder what they're thinking. Maybe we better find out what she was thinking when she was staring at the abortion clinic.
Well, that's why I said. What? Not giving her a warning or something, you know, hey, listen, move on.
A warning for what? Okay, then everybody else has got to get a warning that stops there. That's the only thing, right?
Yes, okay. They should.
Fair enough.
They should.
I understand what you were saying.
I mean, if it's a sensitive area, everybody gets the same treatment.
If it's a move-on area, you know.
Correct, yeah.
If that was what they say on there, you know, you are not allowed to stand here.
Right.
This is a move-on area.
It should be for everybody.
Then you can say, all right, it was her actual action, her physical action that caused the arrest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just thought I would bring that up. Speaking of that, and my sister sent me an email on this one. She was kind of upset. I want to see what you think, Ed. Father Frank Pavone, he is a firebrand pro-lifer. He has stirred controversy over the issue inside the Catholic Church. He has been removed from the priesthood. He was officially removed on November the 9th following a receipt of a letter from the Pope. And the letter ordered Pavone to be removed with no possibility of appeal. quote, this action was taken after Father Pavone was found guilty in canonical proceedings of blasphemous communications on social media and of persistent disobedience of the lawful instructions of his diocesan bishop, unquote. They did not specify anything more than that. Pavone says he got no communication from the Vatican. He says, nevertheless, that his removal comes as little surprise. He said, I've been persecuted in the church for decades. Nothing new for me. They just don't like the work I'm doing for these babies. He went on to mention the circumstances of his, quote, blasphemous communication, saying that he had typed the word GD, the whole word, in a tweet in 2020.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't think you excommunicate a priest or whatever they do, you know, for using the GD quote in a tweet. That's just an excuse.
Mm.
Anyway, he said, I used the word GD in response to somebody in a tweet, and for that they want to throw me out of the priesthood. Well, of course it was other things, because he was becoming a little bit of a burr in the saddle, apparently, to them.
I mean, we wanted to nip it in the bud before it got out of control.
I guess. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of sports. Since we're going to be taking a hiatus, I want to talk to Ed about what's coming up in, you know, end of the year sports. And then we want to give you the top 10 salaries, or the salaries of the top 10 highest paid CEOs in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Make sure you tune in to Burning Rubber Radio Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Network. Burning Rubber Radio will bring you up to date on what's going on in NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, and anything else that has two or four wheels and races. That's Burning Rubber Radio Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Network. Burning Rubber's brought to you locally by BigStormBrewery.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so much for being with us. We've been here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you've missed any of our shows, bless him, has put all of them on podcast. So you can go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button at the very top, and you will be presented with all of the shows that we have done, starting at the top with the most recent show. You will see who the guest was that we spoke with. Like today, we spoke with Neville Kramer. You'll see his name there. You'll see that we talked about Title 42. As a topic, you'll then see the top 10, which is going to be our, in this case, our top 10 highest paid CEOs in Tampa Bay. OurFreedomWorks.com. So I thought, Ed, we're going to take a little hiatus here on Freedom Works after today. Mm-hmm. A little bit past the New Year's and the like. And I wanted to kind of get your thought on some of the sports that are going on right now. I guess we can always talk about how the Rays are doing, or how the Bucks are doing, or the Lightning are doing. Overall, they've all done over the years fairly well, I guess. The Lightning played last night and they lost.
Yeah,
I think. But in general, we've had a pretty good go of it here with sports in Tampa Bay. We've had, you know.
Well, we hit a high, you know, with the Lightning and the Bucks, and the Rays got really close. And then everybody but the Lightning's kind of fallen back.
A little bit.
You know, the Bucks have fallen back.
A little bit.
Everybody's scared about what about next year. We're not only looking, you know, at what's left of this year, but towards next year, because if Brady doesn't come back, the Glazers, the owner of the Bucks, better remove those 6,000 seats that they added to the stadium, because they're going to be empty.
Oh.
And then you got the Rays, where people don't know what the heck is going on. I mean, they're dumping players and salaries.
But they have been doing that for a while.
I know, but this is a little deeper. There were a lot of cuts this year. You know, G-Man Choi's gone. And
I kind of liked him. Was he the first baseman, or what position?
He was the chubby South Korean guy.
Yeah.
A little chubby guy. But he had fallen off last year. I mean, he couldn't hit a fly, you know, with a 10-foot pole. I mean, I think the second half of the season, he was hitting under 100.
Oh.
It was horrible.
Okay.
So he had dropped way off.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you got the stadium issue. I mean, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Now, is that 2027? Am I right?
Yeah.
That's when the contract ends.
See, here's the thing.
That's five more years.
If the Rays...
Four.
If the Rays don't get a place by 2027, then current ownership gets a piece of the property that's around the Trop right now.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Current baseball ownership?
Yes. Stu Sternberg.
Okay. Oh, that's confusing.
So there's talk of now Ebor's popping up again. And then they're talking about where the Trop is now, building next door a stadium. But it's still coming down to money. Where's the money going to come from?
Yeah.
You know.
I wonder if the businesses that would want to, let's say, congregate around that area and congregate around a baseball stadium could somehow be involved in financing a new stadium.
I mean, we all agree there has to be a roof on it. There has to be. We can't afford the convertible, which would be a retractable roof. We can't afford that. So it has to be a fixed dome of some sort. Geez, really? Is the Trop that bad? I mean, I love it in July when it's 72 degrees in there.
Yeah.
But is it really that bad?
I've never thought so. Never thought it's that bad. But apparently, the baseball management of the Rays are unwilling to consider just updating it.
Well, I mean, they update it almost every year. They really do. There's a lot of improvements. I don't know how much more. Maybe they knock a few windows into the place, you know, maybe mm-hmm. open it up a little bit to make it look. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just, it's an ongoing thing that I don't know if it's ever going to end. It's obvious you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know where they would.
The whole Montreal thing was a lie.
No, it was. But the only other thing is their attendance is not good. What about Las Vegas taking them or something?
Well, then you got to move the franchise. I mean,
right.
You have to move it, and you have to have a stadium in place before you move it. And the stadium takes 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what about moving it up the road to Orlando or something?
No, that's not going to work.
No?
No.
Okay.
That's not going to work. You know, the old owner of the Bucks, Hugh Culverhouse, he flirted with that idea with sharing Tampa with Orlando, playing a few games there.
In football.
This is not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
You just don't think... No. Okay. Interesting. All right, Ed. Thank you for that. We got a lot of... I guess, are you following college football with the playoffs? And
a little
the best
bit.
Do you know who the teams are that will be playing in the so-called college football playoffs?
TCU is one.
Texas Christian?
Yeah, okay. And of course, Ohio State, Michigan.
Georgia is going to be in it, right?
Yes, of course, Georgia is going to be in it. I think that's going to be the first upcoming game. I think Georgia and Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken.
Have they
figured, that is going to be a great
game. Have they locked
game.
Them in? Have they locked them in? Or
well, it's in the playoffs, games? Yes. That'll come around the play.
Okay.
That comes around right around the first of the year.
Okay. All right, good. All right. Time for our top 10. And I must give credit to your favorite newspaper, Ed, the Tampa Bay Times.
Boy.
These are Tampa Bay's 10 highest paid CEOs. They actually did the top 20 in there, but we're only going to do the top 10, okay? I want to find out if you have any idea what the name of, not the name of, but the CEO, the name of the company, let's put it that way, that has got the highest
paid. I actually think I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Briefly, but go ahead.
All right, no problem. So here we go. These are the Tampa Bay's top 10 highest paid CEOs. Number 10 is Joseph Matosevic, and he is being paid $3,444,000 a year. He is with Helios Technologies, and I'm just trying to find his... where is his thing on? Actually, maybe I misread this. Let's back that up. Number 10 is Michael. I'm sorry. I'm reading it wrong. I don't think they had him in order with their pictures. Okay, anyway, number 10 is Michael Benstock. Superior Group of Companies is the name of it. And he makes $5.9 million a year. All right, we'll round it off. I've never heard of Superior Group, but... anyway, number 9. K-Force. Have you heard of K-Force, Ed?
I have, yeah.
Well, Joseph Liberatore is their CEO. He's 59 years old, and he makes $6.8 million. So, let's see. What do they do anyway? K-Force. I don't know. Anyway, all right, number 8. This is Bloomin' Brands. I've heard of Bloomin' Brands. And the guy's name is David Deno, I think it is, D-E-N-O. He's 65 years old. He makes $7.5 million. Is Bloomin' Brands, the Outback Steakhouse, Bonefish, Carrabba's, you know, that kind of thing, right? All right, number 7. Stu Joerman from Know Before. I've never heard of Nobi.
That's actually downtown Clearwater.
Oh, is that?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a software company.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, he makes $7.5 million in his software company.
It's on one of the towers in downtown Clearwater.
You're okay. Yeah. Huh. All right. Very good. All right. Number 6. Paresh Patel, HCI Group. He makes... $7.7 million. It's a property and casualty insurer. And you always make a lot of money in that business. All right, number 5. Rich Hume, TD Synnex, $9,529,000. Number 4. James Jock O'Rourke with Mosaic Company. I've heard of them because they have to do with chemicals.
And, yes.
Yeah. He makes $12.3 million with Mosaic. Pretty good. Number 3. Paul Riley of Raymond James. We know about Raymond James. Mm-hmm. It's a huge financial company headquartered here. And good old Paul makes $13.9 million doing what he does. Number 2. Mark Mondello of Jabil. You've heard of Jabil, the circuit company?
Jabil.
Yes, that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Jabil, yeah. I know him well. I know Mark well.
Mark?
He's a friend of mine, Mark Mondello.
I saw him in line for day-old bread yesterday.
Yes, indeed. That was him. $16.4 million. You know, it's those kind of people, the ones that wear the tattered coats and everything.
Yeah.
They're the wealthiest people in the world.
Yeah.
They're very eccentric. All right. Do you know what company is number 1 in terms of...
I forgot it, but I've never seen it.
The guy's name is L. Neil Hun, and it's Roper Technologies. He makes, ready, $21.6 million. There you go. All right. Thank you so
much. But does he get benefits?
That's what I'm worried about. Thank you so very much for listening to it. We're going to take a little hiatus, as I said. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Please remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kay.